Hello, this is Michael Fanning, and I'm the host of the Windermere Coaching Minute. This is our quick form podcast where we'll talk to Windermere agents who bring creative ideas, power strategies, and successful routines to light. In each episode, we'll talk to real estate professionals to learn what they have done that have allowed them to be better than they were yesterday. Please enjoy our podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, and welcome to the Windermere Coaching Minutes. And I am extremely excited today to have Russell Marson with us. Russell, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm great. So, Russell, for our listeners, I'm just going to let them know kind of how our paths cross. You're with Investment Property Exchange, or known as IPX, with 1031. And we happened to be together. You were speaking, as was I, at an event for Windermere in Whitefish, Montana, with all of our Montana constituents, our agents there. And I got to tell you, folks, Russell was talking about 1031, and I've never learned so much. And I think he had 30 minutes?
20.
Yeah, 20 minutes. And and you were great at your delivery. Also very funny. And so I walked up to Russell, said, "Hey, Russell, I got to have you on the podcast because the stuff you just went over are critical things that I think that our agents need to know about 1031 exchanges as it pertains to providing a high level of knowledge and service to our clients who may not be aware of just, for starters, what a 1031 exchange is." And Russell's been involved in this for 28 years, so a massive wealth of knowledge. So Russell, thanks for taking the time to explain this to us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Yeah, we're the largest intermediary in the nation. That's all we do is facilitate 1031s.
Yeah, I know. And I could tell from your talk, I was like, okay, you're dialed in. So to kind of start with this, give me, just for our listeners, 1031 exchange in a nutshell, what is it?
Yeah, great question. 1031 exchange it's actually the greatest wealth building tool in the entire Internal Revenue Code, because the 1031 allows real estate investors to buy and sell real estate throughout the course of their entire life without having to pay tax. Simply meaning it allows, as an investor, you know, grows in age, their financial objectives change, right? When you're young, maybe your objectives are you're trying to build wealth, so you buy appreciation type real estate. Later on in life, you own a bunch of real estate. So now you want to go into more of a cash flow position, or maybe you want to retire, you want to go passive in your real estate. Those are all different types of financial objectives. So the 1031 allows you to pivot to each one of those types of objectives without having to pay any tax. Because depending on what state you live in, taxes can be pretty hefty. I mean, California, of course, is the heaviest tax state, and the uppermost tax bracket in California can be literally over 40%. In other states, maybe the average is around 30%.
Well, and I know that can be a big hit. I know one of the questions we get asked a lot, and I hear this, and you spoke about this, is the whole like kind. Like, so if I'm going to do a 1031 exchange, what can I exchange it for? I mean, talk to me about that, because I know that can be a little bit misleading.
It's not a little misleading. It's a lot misleading. That term like kind, they should get rid of it, actually, because it's a very broad definition. It's not as narrow in scope as it sounds. You know, there's this natural assumption that, well, if I'm selling raw land, then I can only buy raw land because that's like kind, right? Or if I'm selling single family rental, I can only buy rentals, commercial for commercial. It's not the case. Like kind actually has nothing to do with what a property looks like. It has to do with how a property is treated for tax purposes. Any real estate that's treated for business or investment purposes is like kind with any other type of business or investment property. So that's huge. And that's why the 1031 is such a powerful wealth building tool. Because if you look at kind of all of the asset classes in real estate, you know, raw land, single family, apartment complexes, commercial, industrial, they all have kind of different financial objectives. So right. The 1031 as I said before, allows you to pivot to those different types of real estate that better suit those objectives. That's powerful, especially for people that own raw land. Like, raw land is somebody that agents should solicit. That's like the easiest low-hanging fruit to solicit. Because if I'm a raw landowner, I typically, if I own 5 acres, right? Mm-hmm. I typically don't have any income coming on it, off of it. Right? I can't depreciate it because there's no improvements on the property. So I don't have that major tax benefit. So my financial plan is I pay my property taxes every year and I hope it goes up in value. That's a negative cash flow vehicle.
Praying for appreciation.
Yeah, total appreciation play, right? But a lot of people, you know, if you say, have you thought about selling your land? You know, it's not really doing anything for you financially. They're like, well, no, it's not costing me anything. That's wrong. I'm a student of financial analysis. That's 100% false, that statement. It's costing you a lot of money in opportunity costs.
Right.
Right. That land is maybe worth $300,000 or $400,000. That's $300,000 or $400,000 provided with zero income and zero depreciation. You can do an exchange. You can sell the land, take that equity and buy a rental house or any other kind of investment property. Now you have cash flow coming in on your equity. Now you have depreciation to shelter that cash flow. And now in a lot of cases, you even have a better appreciating asset because maybe the house will appreciate better than the land did. You can do that entire transaction free using the 1031 and the equity from the land. So all those different types of asset classes are like kind. There's really only two types of properties that are not like kind from a real estate standpoint. One is inventory or flipped properties. Okay. Can't 1031 into or out of inventory properties. Second one is personal use properties, like a primary residence, right? Your intent when you do a 1031 needs to be to hold for business or investment purposes, not for personal use or not for inventory purposes.
Got it. Well, and so this bodes a question. So let's say that I got land in Montana, but I want a 1031 in California for an investment property or someplace else. I mean, what about state crossing state lines? How does that all work?
Oh yeah, 1031 is federal. So you can buy and sell in any state and defer both state and federal tax. All states recognize the 1031 exchange. Now, there are a couple states that do have what is called a clawback provision. Montana is one of those states. So is California, so is Oregon. I think the other one is Massachusetts or Connecticut. But what happens is if you sell in Montana and then you move out of that state, let's say you decide, okay, well, I need to move to Arizona. So you buy in Arizona with a 1031, and you also move and no longer are a resident of Montana. Every year you file your taxes, you have to tell Montana at tax time, you have to file what's called an informational return, a little couple page return, it's simple. But you're basically telling Montana every year at tax time, I didn't sell the property. Because the year you do sell the property, you're gonna owe Montana the state, the tax you left the state with. Not any new gain.
It's a clawback.
It's a clawback, yeah. And California, of course, is one of those states that has one as well. If you never cash out, because you only pay that tax if you cash out.
Okay.
That means you're going to sell the property and not continue to do another 1031. Because if you sell that property in Arizona in the future and do another 1031, no clawback.
Got it.
So you can defer throughout your entire life. And then when you pass away through the estate process, that tax is forgiven, right? So, okay. So let everybody know, death is the answer.
Death is the answer, which brings me to my next question. And I know you talked about this when we were in the talk, is are taxes inevitable?
Oh, yeah, they're not inevitable. I have a lot of, I'll get this a lot from my clients because they'll call me and say, hey, you know, my realtor wanted me to give you a call, but my CPA said, don't do an exchange, but I'm calling you anyway. I'm like, okay, well, why did your CPA say don't do an exchange? And they'll say, well, because he said he believes, like I get this a lot.
Yep.
He believes that capital gains is going to be going up in the future, which is very possible. And since I'm going to have to pay my taxes anyway, inevitably, right? I might as well just pay them now while they're low. Okay, interesting. And clients totally take the hook on that one.
Right.
Because first of all, it's coming from their CPA, which they totally trust. And the second reason is because everybody, you know, every single person in this country has been patterned to believe two things in life are 100% inevitable, right? Everybody listening to this podcast right now is saying death and taxes in their mind,
yeah,
right? Because they know this, right? it's not true, right? We've been lied to. Only death is inevitable. Taxes are not. Current estate tax law is incredibly favorable. Like current estate tax law, if you're single, $12.9 million is the floor. So if you're single and your estate's below $12.9 million, there's no estate tax. If you're married, double that number, almost $26 million, right? And your heirs get a step up in basis. That's the super cool part, right? So if you bought a property, Michael, for $100,000 60 years ago, right? Before you were born. And then when you pass away, you know, you bought it for $100,000, but when you pass away, it's worth $2 million. Your heirs, when they go on title to it after you pass away, right, their basis is stepped up to the fair market value as of the date of your passing, which just happened.
Right.
Which means they can immediately sell the property and pay no tax. It's a tax-free sale. They don't have to buy other real estate with that sale. They can do whatever they want with those funds. So the taxes are forgiven to the estate process. So that's why we say, don't let your clients cash out of real estate. Instead, just help them 1031 into something else that better suits whatever their current financial objectives are, right? Because they're selling their property for some reason. They don't like it anymore.
Right.
But what are their objectives financially? Well, I promise you, there's some type of real estate that'll suit those objectives. So just help them exchange into that. So don't cash out. Just exchange until you die.
Until you die.
We call it swap until you drop.
Wow. Very cool. I love it. Swap until swap you drop. Until you drop.
Yes.
And then we're also talking about 1031s on like vacation homes or second homes. Talk to me a little bit about that, because that's I find that interesting.
Yeah. In fact, you know, a little bit when we were talking about like kind, I did mention that one of the types of properties you can't 1031 is a personal use property. And the purest definition of that is primary residence, even a second home, right? You never rent out. That's a personal use property. They don't qualify for 1031. And that's okay, because, you know, when you're selling a primary residence, you already have a phenomenal tax benefit. It's called Section 121, right? That's that $250,000 or $500,000 exclusion, whether you're single or married. You can take on your primary every two, if you've lived in it for two out of the last 5 years. So because of that, not a lot of people would want to exchange out anyway, but a lot of people would love to use the exchange to buy a primary residence, right? You're a retired couple and you have, you know, a couple rental properties. You own them free and clear. You've owned them forever. You'd like to sell those and buy your dream home on the lake.
Right.
Right. Or on the golf course. Well, you can go through what we call a conversion process. The IRS created my favorite revenue procedure back in 2008. It's Revenue Procedure 2008-16 for those of you out there in podcast land writing notes. it is my favorite revenue procedure because it's a safe harbor. It's actually guidance from the IRS saying, hey, if you follow this simple little recipe, they can't challenge or overturn your exchange, and you can convert a property to personal use if you follow this structure. That's why it's my favorite revenue procedure. I actually read it every night before I go to bed.
Do you? Okay.
Gives me very happy dreams. Very cool. Here's the revenue procedure. So sell your investment properties. You take all of that tax-free money, right? You're deferring the tax. You would have gotten killed in taxes if you just paid it outright and sold them. You're not going to pay any taxes. You're taking 100% of that cash and you're buying your very expensive dream home all cash for the first 2 years after you buy it. And this is the time period. For the first 2 years after you buy it, you have to treat the property two ways. One, limit your personal use to 2 weeks a year or less, or 10% of the rental history per year, whichever is a bigger number.
Okay.
So if they rented it out for like 300 days a year, they could use it personally for 30 days a year. Now, personal use visit is defined as you just going there and hanging out. If you're going there to maintain the property, that's a maintenance visit. Right. So you can have maintenance visits above the 2 weeks a year. But nevertheless, first thing we have to do is limit our personal use. Second thing we have to do is show income on it. But that's a really low standard. You only have to show 2 weeks per year of income on it. That's it.
Wow. Okay.
That is a crazy low standard. If you satisfy that 2 year requirement, limit your personal use and find a buddy to rent it to. Right, Michael, you're going to rent my place for 2 weeks a year. I'm going to claim that on my taxes. I don't have to list it on Airbnb or VRBO. I just have to show that income of 2 weeks a year. After 2 years, I can do whatever I want. I can move into the property. I can treat it as a pure second home or vacation home. I never have to rent it again, ever. And my exchange, 100% safe harbor.
So this would be ideal for somebody who, let's say, had a residence. Let's say I had a residence in Washington, but then I wanted to be like, you know, let's say in someplace else for a vacation home. But I had a couple of properties that were investment properties. I could 1031 those into a vacation home. And then after 2 years, if I wanted to, then I could sell my primary residence and fully move into.
Yeah. Yeah. So a question that realtors should ask their clients whenever they're kind of vetting them for their financial objectives with their real estate moving forward. Here's a question they should ask. Hey, in the next 2 years, are you thinking about, you know, relocating to another primary anywhere in the country, retiring, whatever? Or have you just thought about buying a second home or vacation home anywhere in the country? Right. If the answer is yes to any of the questions, then you can say, you've got these investment properties over here. I can list and sell those for you right now. And we can accomplish that goal for you right now with a 1031 exchange.
Yep. So I know, and one last question here that we kind of talked about is just the timing, right? Because I know that a lot of agents, you know, aren't really sure what the timing is on that. So, you know, hey, we sold this property. Now we have a certain amount of time to make the 1031 exchange happen. I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah. 1031 is time sensitive for sure. And the IRS has created these timeframes and they're very rigid. So when you close escrow on a relinquished property, that's property being sold, right? That starts the clock. Now we have to set up the exchange before escrow closes, right? You can't call me after it closes and say, Russell, we're ready to an exchange. We've got our check right here, fully taxable sale. So I need to be called sometime during the escrow period. Actually well in advance of that, preferably, so I can answer questions for the clients. But once they're in escrow, we have to set up the exchange. Now, once it closes escrow, clock has started. You have 45 days to identify. Number one killer of exchanges is the 45-day identification rule. You have a total of 180 days to actually close, but the first 45, you have to identify. Prior to midnight on the 45th day, you can change your identification all you want. You can substitute new properties in and out. But as soon as midnight strikes on the 45th day, you're set in stone on only buying something you've identified. After the 45th day, doesn't matter what's happened to the properties you've identified. If they're not available, you can't buy them. You have a failed exchange. So it's really important. I can't stress enough to the agents to make sure your clients don't wait until day zero to begin the process of writing offers and getting into contract on a replacement property. So they should be in contract on a replacement property prior to closing on a relinquished.
And when you say identify, they have to be under contract in 45 by that 45th day, right?
Technically, no. They just have to name the property. I mean, from a technical standpoint, no, they don't have to be in contract. Okay. They just have to name the properties. But from a practical standpoint, yes, you better be in contract before the 45th day.
Yep. Okay, that makes sense. And then you have how many days total?
180 total. So those are concurrent, right? They run together. So you have 135 days left after the 45th day.
Perfect. Well, I mean, and you're just a wealth of knowledge on this. So any other advice you have for agents who are like working with their clients or things that they should, you know, be kind of finding out about if a 1031 exchange is right for their clients?
Yeah, one big thing. I'm glad you brought that up. One big thing. Here's a question, especially since the pandemic. So this kind of new, really, the importance of it is new since COVID. Because what a lot of people have been doing since COVID is claiming in a home office, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people. So if somebody is listing a primary residence of a client, they need to ask them this question. And I promise you, their competitors are not. They need to ask them this question. Do you have any business use in this house that you're selling? And they might say, well, what do you mean? Well, do you claim an in-home office? Do you rent out a bedroom on Airbnb to traveling nurses? What do you do with that ADU in the backyard? Do you rent that out, right? If the answer is yes, okay, great. Next question is, have you talked to your CPA to see how much you're gonna pay in taxes from that? And they might say something like, well, we're within our 500,000. It's my primary, we're not gonna pay any tax.
Right.
Yes, you will pay tax. Because that primary residence exclusion, that section 121, that's an exclusion on capital gain, which is based on appreciation. It is not an exclusion on depreciation recapture. So if you've taken depreciation by claiming in a home office, you're going to be taxed on that no matter how much your gain is or how little it is.
Right.
So if your CPA says, I'm not going to pay that much, I'm going to pay $2,000, don't do an exchange, just pay your tax. But the CPA might say, you're going to pay 80 grand in taxes. You've depreciated a lot. Well, now they have an option, right? Because you can do what's called a mixed use exchange. You've been depreciating 20% of the property. Great, 20% of sales price can flow through a 1031. 80% will come to you at closing completely tax-free. So if they have a business use, it's really important they ask the client that. Yeah, because otherwise, you don't want to be surprised.
No.
Right? Because they think they don't have a tax. They didn't talk to their CPA before selling their primary residence. Next year at tax time, the CPA gives them the bad news, right? Nobody gave them the choice.
And so that's good to know. And then, so in that case, if it was that high amount, you would then have that amount of money to go out and invest in another property.
Yeah, with just that amount, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to use the full amount, just that amount. And you're buying another primary. If it's an in-home office situation, you're buying another primary, you're probably going to have another in-home office. So that exchange actually would probably work on the next primary they're buying.
Yeah.
If not, they just go out and buy a little small condo or a piece of land somewhere and satisfy the exchange that way.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Well, I love all this information. So let me ask you this. If agents wanted to reach out and really just like pick your brain or get more information, what's the best way for them to do that? Because I got to know, some people are going to be listening to this going, okay, I want to talk to Russell.
Yeah, cell phone, best way to reach me. No matter, you can call me at 8 o'clock at night because I'm a tax nerd. I have no life. So you'll be giving my life by simply calling me, asking me tax questions. So my cell phone is area code 530-755-8355. And I can be reached at that number anytime.
And then email it's russell.marson@ixp1031.com.
IPX, yes. Yeah, Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L dot Marson, M-A-R-S-A-N at ipx1031.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, hey, Russell, I want to thank you for taking the time today. I mean, I learned something for sure. And I know that as we are challenged in this market in providing the highest level of service and being the best trusted advisors, these are big things that our agents should know about and, you know, not walk into it blind. And so for our listeners, if any of this information you find that you'd like to do a deeper dive, please reach out to Russell. He's a wealth of knowledge. And again, Russell, I want to thank you for taking the time today to be on our podcast.
Hey, my pleasure. And anybody out there in podcast land, if you guys need a training class for your office, let me know as well. I also do evening classes for your clients too, that are a lot of fun.
Oh, I could see that being a great event for a client appreciation event to have you come in.
Absolutely.
31 exchanges.
Yeah, like how to build wealth in real estate.
Oh, yeah.
They're a blast. We do them for like an hour and a half on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, 6 to 7:30, something like that, at the venue of your choice. They're a lot of fun. I never get out of those things until at least an hour after it's done, because there's just so much engagement with the clients. They have no idea they could do this.
Well, and I'll just let all of our listeners know, if you choose to hire Russell to speak, I will tell you he's a great speaker too. Not only does he know 1031, but he's very entertaining. He kept a room of, what do we have, like 55 agents there? And all of them said, oh my gosh, he wasn't only informational, but he was funny too. So that's always a good thing.
Well, I just appreciate you guys didn't fall asleep. That's the greatest compliment I can receive. So,
well, hey, Russell, thank you so much for taking the time. And for our listeners, folks, if you found this interesting, please feel free to give us a rating. Let us know if we hit the mark. If there's other things you'd like us to talk about, you can reach out to me directly at fanning@winner.com. And we'll always end these like we always do, one by saying, Russell, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. And everybody, be awesome, help somebody, and make it a great day. Well, we want to thank you for listening to our Windermere Coaching Minute. We hope you found this content helpful. If you did, please feel free to share it and give us a rating. And we'll always end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody, and make it a great day.